Beloved radio friends, once again we welcome you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus to our broadcast. Oh, we pray that the Lord, by His Spirit, will give you a very deep interest and concern in relation to the truth of the blessed Lord Jesus coming back again. My beloved, let it be solemnly realized, the one whom the world hated and still does, and crucified and nailed him to the tree of Calvary. Yes, it was the religious world, it was the political world, and it was the cultured world of that day. Nailed to the cross of Calvary, the blessed and the holy Son of God. But may I remind you, before the Savior left this scene and before his enemies took him to the cross, he foretold he would come back. Oh, please take the words carefully to your heart, seriously to your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's not coming back to be the Savior of sinners. He's coming back to be the judge of all. He came once to save, and thank God that He came to save you and He came to save me. Well, did the Lord Jesus say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn or to judge the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That was the purpose of His coming to the earth at His first advent. He came not to judge. He came to save. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not come alone to seek. He also came to save, and when we call Him Savior, we call Him by His name. My beloved, can you call Him your Savior? Can you say, "The Lord is my Savior? I've accepted Him as my Savior who died for my sins and forgave them through the faith in His precious blood." For may I be very serious and careful and prayerful to remind you that at the second coming of the Lord Jesus, He will not come to save. He will come to judge. And yet it is the blessed Lord Jesus, as we are seeing in Matthew 24, who foretold before He left some of the indications and the signs that would prevail upon the earth preceding His coming back to this scene. We would read the words that we follow in chapter 24 of Matthew. We would like to read from verse 9 through 14 these words that the Savior uttered. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Then shall they kill you. Then ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Let us stop the reading right there. Ah, we have noted how the Lord has declared the coming of false Christ, appearing just before His return, as well as wars and rumors of wars. And they all must come to pass, even before the end has come. And that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, a universal chaos among the nations, together with disturbances in the very provinces of nature, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, in many, many places. And yet these, only the beginning. Now what the Lord goes on to say, He declares of other things that will take place following what He calls the beginning of sorrow. Now let me go back a minute to that 8th verse. Please note the language, note the description of such days. The beginning of what? Sorrows, sorrows, sorrows. My beloved, will you take it into your heart? Will you take it into your mind? Will you take it into your conscience? The Lord is describing that coming upon the earth, preceding when He returns back to the earth, greatest of sorrows shall prevail. Now know what He declares as we go on. Oh, how He declares regarding those days, that there will be a definite period of great persecution. Great persecution. A period of the need of enduring and suffering. Many things which are to follow. Yes, he says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. My beloved, may I state very frankly and firmly, there's evidences of persecution even now, seemingly to appear already against the Christian testimony of our Lord Jesus, both in our country and in many, many parts of this world. I'm fully acquainted with the fact that among some of the so-called heathen nations, yea, where even the gospel has been so faithfully preached, there is a great power of evil rising to take Christianity and drive it out of those countries where our fellow missionaries have been faithfully given the gospel. And there are many dear believers in those lands suffering affliction for the gospel's sake. What will it be later on? And along with those afflictions and persecutions, death, they shall kill you. Can I state frankly, on the authority of personal and confident knowledge of the truth of it, within this past year, I think of three Christian young men in the country, their native country, far away from here, preaching the gospel to the many in their city that without Christ, preaching to them in the open air, were brutally attacked and murdered because they dared to preach. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. My beloved Lord, what will it be when the hatred rises greater, when the persecution increases? There'll be many that will taste death. And then as the Lord goes on to say, please, I want you to know something. Universal hatred. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I want to meditate upon those words very carefully. Particularly would I emphasize the Lord Jesus was speaking, as we've already stated previously. He was speaking directly to his earthly people. And he was speaking directly to his disciples who were Jews. And of course the question they raised was concerning the end of the age. And of course, in their conviction at that time, they were looking for the end of the Jewish age, which would terminate in the reign of the Messiah. And so their thoughts would be Jewish inclined and containing only the thoughts regarding their own earthly people. I want to say something. The world hates God's earthly people. I don't need to tell you that. It's a sad commentary how the nations at large have hated God's earthly people, and unjustly so. And even today, I don't think you could count more than one or two nations that has any interest at all in the preservation of Israel. But I want you to take in the complete revelation of these words. The Lord Jesus is saying of those people of his own nation, ye shall be hated, and note the word, of all nations, for my name's sake. Now, beloved, let me say frankly, why should they be so hated? Well, let me give you some explanation if I possibly can. If there's one reason that the devil himself hates the Jews and the people of Israel, it is because Christ, the Son of God, came into the world through this people. And if you know your Bible, you know from the beginning of time and the beginning of sin that in the history of the Old Testament, as well as in the New, you can trace the power and the work of the devil seeking to exterminate that race of people that was to bring forth the Messiah. Let me give you just one example. There are many of them in the Old Testament, but let me give you one in Matthew. You know that in chapter 2, the kings of the Orient, the wise men of the East, they came at the revelation of the birth of the King of the Jews, they came to worship him. To Jerusalem they came, thinking he would be there, believing he would undoubtedly be honored, but he was not even known. Not only the king knew him not, King Herod knew him not, neither did the rulers of the Jews, the very religious leaders who should have been looking for him. But you know that immediately when King Herod found, the wise men returned back to their own country another way, and that they had deceived him and gone home without coming to tell him where the babe was, that he might kill him. You know what he tried to do? He killed every infant from 2 years and under in all the area to try and make sure that he slew the babe of Bethlehem. Please let me say, not just that the nations hate the Lord, hate the Lord's people, but the devil himself. And there is no question of doubt, through the lifetime and history of God's earthly people from the beginning, even from the day of Adam and on, the devil has thought to defeat the purposes of God to send the Savior. And may I say, the devil's hatred of the Savior is not ended, and the devil's hatred of the people of Israel, because they brought the Savior into the world, neither is that ended. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Sad is the commentary, not only persecution, death, but universal hatred. And then, many amongst themselves will be offended, and they betray one another, and even hate one another. Oh, may God the Holy Spirit, my beloved listener, remind you and me these are the conditions before the Lord comes. Are you ready? Am I ready to meet him? God grant that you are, my friend. Father, bless thy word. Save some souls. In Jesus' name, amen.